That was awesome. That was just awesome. I'm kind of speechless. I don't know why, but it'd be awesome to baptize your own son, don't you think? All right. So, in the first service, there were some joys and concerns that were brought up, and one was Scott Matassa had shoulder surgery this week, and he's doing fine. He's doing great, recovering well. Ronnie Caudill is having open heart surgery on Friday. It got moved. It was supposed to be on Tuesday. It got moved to Friday this week. So please pray for him and for, Jenny as well. I'd also like to pray for Frances Keenan, who is the mother of Kelly Benson. She is having surgery this week. We also pray for Terry Keenum, who is a friend of Don Moore, who's in the first service. He is doing much better, but keep praying for him. Donald, who is Lloyd's brother, has bladder cancer surgery tomorrow, or has a procedure. I'm not sure. I don't think they knew for sure that it was actually cancer, but they're having a procedure for him tomorrow as well. And then joy for the family of Judy Pierce that her family is in France and doing well, and continued prayers for them for their safety as they journey through France in this great time for them. Are there any other joys or concerns this morning that you'd like to bring to the church? You guys have to have something because he's changing back there, and right now we need some time. Okay, I'm going to pray for a long time right now, so let us go to God in prayer. God, we're so thankful that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're thankful that we are made in your image, that we are children, that you've called us to be here today to witness this great event with two wonderful kids who've been baptized, who have put their lives in the forward-moving direction to follow you. And we just pray that we would be a church that would help raise that family and those kids. God, we just lift up every single person that's been put on this prayer list. We thank you for the joys of successful surgeries, for continued healing, and for everything that you have provided for us this week. For birthdays, God, we lift up those people that are suffering right now through hard times. God, we lift up especially Donald this morning, Lloyd's brother, and be with the surgeons tomorrow as they try to figure out what's going on, and they work on healing him. Father God, we thank you so much that you have brought the family of Judy Pierce safely through 1 week of being in France. And we just pray in continued prayers that they would have another very, very safe week, and that they would be able to travel home safely as well. God, we thank you so much for Ronnie Caudill. And we just pray that you would be with the surgeons on Friday as they have open heart surgery on him, and help him come through that very, very quickly and very well. God, we just thank you so much for this church, for everything that you've done for this church, for everything you continue to do in us. No matter how young or how old we are, God, you can still continue to work through us and to change lives in this generation, in this world. God, thank you so much for loving us the way that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, during one day of preaching, used 6 different parables describing of what the kingdom of God was like. Our parable today, the parable of the leaven, has traditionally been interpreted in 2 diametrically opposed ways. One view sees the leaven as representing corruption, making this a parable of how the kingdom of God is going to go from bad to worse. The other sees the leaven as a good and positive image, representing the growth of the kingdom. Unfortunately, both may be wrong. Today we're going to come to hear the parable of leaven in a different way. Matthew 13:33, the parable of the yeast. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with or hid in 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The word of God for the people of God.
When I attended seminary, I had met this professor for the very first time. He told us at the first class, when we asked him what we should call him, that we could call him Dr. Bernard Brandon Scott. Well, we were pretty new to school at that time, and we thought he was being serious. But we went around calling him that until one day when he took the class with him to have Thai food, and he ordered for us and had gotten, you know, if it was on a menu today, it would be one of those with 5 peppers beside it, you know. And he said after that we could call him Brandon. But he was a good friend and an inspiration to me, and he opened my mind to understand that these parables of Jesus were not easy, simple stories. There was more to them than what I had learned. There was more to them than what I could see with my eyes and hear with my ears, because I, he taught me, wasn't a first century person. I didn't understand what he was saying exactly. And so I thought this summer I would take some time and go back through some of my course notes and talk about some of the parables of Jesus, pass along to you some of the knowledge that I received from Brandon, who actually is, I found out later, was the scholar on the parables in the world and had written a book which was very well known that all scholars used when they were talking about the parables, called Here, Then, the Parable. And at the first class, when we met, Brandon said this view that Mark has about parables is very important for you to understand. Mark says in the very beginning of the book, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God," Jesus speaking to the disciples. "But for those outside, everything comes in parables." What I believe that this tells us is that for Mark, parables were like riddles. What this saying suggests is that from a very early time, Jesus' parables mystified people. They couldn't understand. Now, this parable 11 doesn't seem very mystical, does it? But let's get into the minds of first century people. Some people have the view when they're studying these that they are simple stories, illustrations for the common people. And I think some of those interpretations are short of everything that Jesus is saying. They're not getting into the deeper meaning. Some people see them as sayings, as aphorisms, as just stories that are free and simple. But they go much, much deeper than that. First, the Koine Greek, which is what the New Testament is written in, is what we're looking at here, parabole. Here then, the parable of the leaven. I've got it here so that we can look at how difficult it is for people who are translating it to make sure that they can give you the understanding of it. We see that the translators weren't sure what was going on exactly. It says in this first one from the Contemporary English Version, what happens when a woman mixes a little yeast? This one from the NRSV says mixed. This one from the NIV also says mixed. But this last one says concealed. She didn't mix it, she concealed it. And we see in the NRSV that there is a note which is in smaller type. I know it's hard to see in the back. Instead of mixed, it says in Greek, it says that she hid the yeast. She hid in the flour, the yeast.
There's some problems here. We see yeast in most of the translations, but the earliest ones say leaven. Would you go back for me again? It says leaven. Don't read my notes. I'm just teaching now, okay? All right? I'll tell you when to go. And then we have three big batches of flour. There's three measures of flour. This translation says 60 pounds of flour, or 27 kilograms. And this translation has 50 pounds of flour. It's also interesting to note that this parable appears in other places. I'm only dealing with it in Matthew. But it says the kingdom of heaven in Matthew, because that's what Matthew called the kingdom of God. But there's the heaven's imperial rule in one translation there. In other translations, it's just God's kingdom. It's the kingdom of God. Those things are different in the different translations. This parable even appears in something which is called the Gospel of Thomas, which was discovered in the 1900s in the Nag Hammadi Library. So we have several versions of it that we can talk about. And so you can see that there are some discrepancies. Next slide. The point that I want to start with, though, is with the leaven. You see, a person who heard this being told would have been shocked that Jesus said the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is like leaven. Everywhere in the New Testament that leaven is used, it's used negatively. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." He said, "The leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy," meaning, you know, they're pretending to be someone that they're not. He used leaven negatively when he talked about the other teachers of the law in the world then, the Sadducees. And he also used leaven negatively when he talked about the people who followed Herod in the Herodians. He said, "Beware the leaven of the Herodians." This is a parable about making bread. And the very first thing, if you're an ancient person, you're a Jew, you know that during the High Holy Days, you do not use leaven. It's not a good thing. No one thought it was a good thing. But we know yeast, which we call it now, is good and makes bread. And it makes the bread taste good. So when we hear that, we don't think about it being a bad thing that the kingdom of God is like that. But the question that the ancient person would be saying is, are you saying that God is bad? Are you saying God is unclean? Which is what leaven is when used on a holy day. Could that be what Jesus is saying? Could Jesus be saying God is for the unclean? Next slide. We have an everyday scene where a woman mixes some leaven in dough to make bread, and the Greek word that she is using that they translate as mix, it really does say hide. That's what the meaning of the Greek word is. And it's not just hid either, because it does have a sense of concealed. It's a more powerful, hidden word. So this woman is hiding the leaven. And she is keeping it in there until it messes up the whole batch, which we suddenly find out is not just enough to make a few loaves of bread, but is 50, 60 pounds of flour. I mean, that's an astronomical amount. If you're a person in the ancient world, you're thinking, what in the world's going on? I mean, this doesn't make any sense. You see how it's not easy to understand what it was Jesus is suggesting. Suggesting that the kingdom of God is like leaven. And we know what he thinks of leaven. It's very puzzling. Next slide. I think if we really want to understand this, we got to get to the three measures. Because it's in the three measures that the story suddenly changes for these people in the ancient world. When they heard that three measures, they immediately went to the story at the Oaks of Mamre, where Abraham and Sarah are, okay? And these three messengers come and visit them, and Abraham instructs Sarah to make bread for them. Suddenly, this is no longer an everyday story, but it's a story of the messianic banquet. It's a story that reminds them of several important things. It reminds them that this is not just about now, but it is about now and always. This is a story that is saying God is for everyone. Next slide. I think that in understanding this, we see that God is identified with the unclean and the impure people. And that's a good thing, because these people have grown up thinking that the only people that are blessed are those that can go into the temple and meet with the priests and see God. And if you were ill or sick or you didn't have any property or money, you were not allowed to do that. And Jesus is using this parable to tell people. And so this parable is good news for women too. Women were not allowed to go into the temple, but yet Jesus has a woman playing a prominent role in this parable, explaining what the kingdom of God is like. This parable was good news for people who were on the outside looking in. The outcasts are welcome in God's kingdom. The kingdom was here right now, Jesus said, and it was coming, and it was going to tear down the religious walls that had been surrounding everyone. And God was going to be for all. And I think a piece of good news that we all can take away from this parable is you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to have a megachurch. You don't have to have a TV show or commercials on TV. You don't have to have any of that. You just have to use that one small influence of the kingdom of God that you have in your life wherever you live and work. And that will bring about the coming of the kingdom. Because that's all it takes, is a little bit of yeast. Enough yeast to do 50, 60 pounds, right? That's all it takes. When I think of this parable too, I think of my grandfather in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. He worked his whole life at Bambi Bread Company. And when he finished, he was a general manager. And their bakery was right downtown. And they made bread from yeast. And I think of my grandfather's downtown. I'm telling you, 2 or 3 miles around the downtown area, what do you think people could smell every day? The sweet aroma of bread baking. I mean, it must have been a really good downtown area, you know? And that reminds me what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 when he told us that we should live a life that's filled with love, and that life would be a pleasing aroma to God. Because that's what you are. You are a little bit of yeast that's been placed down in the world that is going to make a big difference in all the people that you meet. Just do our small part for the advancement of the kingdom of Jesus, and you will be a pleasant aroma to God. Amen? Amen. We come to our time of invitation in our service when we invite any who would like to make their confession of faith to do so. If you'd like to transfer your membership to Slash Church, we invite you to do so. Stand with us now as we sing our hymn of invitation. Here I am, Lord. number 452.